And welcome to a special edition of the Dan Morrow Show. We are obviously going to be discussing the latest regarding the coronavirus outbreak, the measures being taken, and try to ease your mind about some misconceptions, as well as some serious hard facts that we just have to deal with. This is a special Hamilton, New Jersey edition, and with me is the mayor of Hamilton, Mayor Steve DiDonato, and also joining us later will be Hamilton Chief of Police Kevin Friel. This podcast can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and other platforms. Wherever podcasts are available, you can download it, stream it, listen at your leisure. And thanks to Rick Seppi of WNJHradio.com, Hamilton's very own internet radio station, this will be broadcasted in its entirety on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. That's tomorrow night, March 18th at 7 p.m. Now, this is a pre-recorded show, and we will not be taking any calls or messages on air. However, I've posted countless times that if you did have questions to respond by 12:30 this afternoon, it is now 1 p.m., so all the lines are closed now. Mr. Mayor, how are you, and thank you for joining us.
I'm doing good.
I'm going to be addressing this show probably in four sections. Obviously, we'll be talking about the kids in the school, obviously elder care, small businesses, and any kind of bailout options that we have. Okay, we're both self-employed. Okay, you have a much larger business than I do. You know, how are you handling this? How are you taking this?
Well, I shut down a business that was established in 1952. We shut it down on Monday night at 8 o'clock for the first time in 68 years, and I cried for 2 days, to be very honest and frank with you.
We're in the service business.
Yes, sir.
You know, I entertain. I need venues like yours to keep going for my stuff, you know, and to be just told to you can't do your job anymore, and you're looking outside, and it's not because of a blizzard or of an impending flood and stuff. This totally hit us blindsided. You know, what are you being confronted with the most that you're seeing?
Well, the uncertainty, right? The uncertainty, is it going to be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Are they going to say 15 days and add a week? It's the uncertainty, the cabin fever that people are going to feel, emotional toll on the average young, all of our citizens, you know, the average person. So the emotional toll is real, and it's serious.
And what's our current status that I'm sure you're always getting updates and stuff? Hamilton, right now, St. Patty's Day, what is the current status to your knowledge?
Okay. The current status in Atlantic County that we know of at this point was there was nobody diagnosed at this point that tested positive in Atlantic County. That doesn't mean somebody doesn't have it. It means that they tested and tested positive. I just talked to Lady Care this morning. They're functioning fine. There's no emergent need for beds that aren't available. So everything right now is honestly in pretty good shape, but we don't know what the future holds. We have to be very safe. We have to keep our social distances, 3 to 6 feet, keep washing your hands, monitor your temperature. I've been monitoring my temperature on a daily basis. Once it gets elevated to 99.5, I'm being told, that you do not race to a doctor. You take Tylenol, something like that, and you just rest in place, quarantine in place. When you feel heaviness on your chest, when you feel like you cannot breathe or starting to have trouble breathing, at that time, you seek out a healthcare professional.
Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding that I read this in someone's post, who was a UFC fighter, MMA fighter, and he was saying, "I feel great. I'm ready to battle this. I'm not afraid of this. I can take it." And that's my ego talking, but I'm also realizing that I could have it and not really be affected by it, but really give it to someone else, give it to my grandmother, give it to someone else who's elderly, and this will kick their ass. It will lay them out.
Correct. The younger, the healthy, without underlying health concerns or problems, we could be carriers. We could have the sniffles a day or two, feel a little sick, maybe a little less energy. But we're fine enough to go to work. But we get in contact with somebody that's 75, 80 years old plus, and this unfortunately could be a death sentence.
And I was listening to some interviews with Michael Osterholm, who's the director of Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. And he was saying how his studies were showing in China, the people who were suffering were older people who did have health risks. They were heavy smokers, most male. Some of the females who did get it were smokers, but not as many, because not as many females smoked. Now, with America, this is more of a breeding pot because there's other health risks involved. There are people, whether it's obesity, heart conditions, any kind of weaker conditions that can really affect these people. And I guess also the problem with this compared to the flu, because this is something you're probably also addressed with, well, why don't we do this with any flu, is because of the way this has spread. It's, you know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we weren't even thinking about this, and now it's affected, you know, people in every single state of this country now, and now it's just become a worldwide pandemic.
Absolutely. Well, the difference between this and the flu is this is 10 times more, you're more susceptible 10 times to get this. If you're in a room of one person with the flu and there's 100 people, right, maybe one will get it. With this, there's going to be 10 that walk out with COVAX.
Yeah.
So it's 10 times. And because it's taking such a toll, it goes into, it shuts the lungs down and puts the older generation or the frailer into lung problems. You know, it puts you into pneumonias and quickly. And right now, the scary part is there's no medicine to combat this.
No.
That they are aware of right now.
No.
Now, that might not be true in 3-4 months, but right now at this point, there's no silver bullet. Okay, I see a patient. They got COVAX. I'm going to give them this treatment, this breathing treatment, and in 3-4 days, we're going to get some positive response. We don't have that silver bullet, gang. We need to stay quarantined if we have it. We need to not infect anybody else because we don't know who's going to pay the price for this one.
Now, granted, people, you know, there is that possibility people could pay the price of this physically, and this can hit them hard. But right now, people are paying the price financially. There are, you know, some people living week to week are really getting hit hard. I know as a musician, you know, I'm done. I have no shows. I'm covered. Fortunately, you know, thanks to Dave Ramsey and Financial Radio and stuff, I'm covered. And I can handle 3 months. But I can't handle anything longer. But I know so many other musicians, so many other waitresses, you know them. They work for you. Mm-hmm. Staff employees, bartenders who are done, who live week to week. And, you know, especially now with the schools being closed. And this is something you can't control because you need to do what the governor, you need to oblige by his decisions and stuff. And this is something that has raised some questions because, ironically, had this been a flu, you know, more kids are likely to get it if it was, because they're more susceptible to flus, and they're like little bacteria factories that just spread to everybody else. And for some reason, they're not really getting sick from this, thankfully, so far. And, you know, to close the schools is very, you don't want to really, you did it. They did it. But did they jump the gun too much? Because, you know, also according to Michael Osterholm, you know, 38% of nurses have kids. And for them to either not be in the hospitals to tend to them, you know, something's got to give, and people are staying home and people are losing work. How is Hamilton dealing with this so far? I've gotten the packets. I have a stepdaughter I've been doing her work with. Seems to be okay. They gave us a day schedule that we were able to bust out in a few hours. You know, and I'm sure you've been talking with the school systems as well. They're keeping their eye on this.
Yeah, so the school had a tough decision to make, right?
Now, do you close the school in general and just nobody in there, or is it just a skeleton crew, faculty, or
there's no teachers, or there's probably some administrators in there. There's probably a cleaning crew making sure that everything's clean and pristine. So when they come back, probably do some disinfecting, some things like that. I'm assuming. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming they do an excellent job at the school district. As far as the first part of your question, you went into tipped employees. They're going to get hit awful hard because they're only paid $3, $4 an hour, and they work off tips, right? So I know with COVAX, they're saying they're going to give unemployment, and they're trying to give it up to 100% of your salary, but 100% of their salary is not enough.
Right.
So it's not enough to live.
Right.
So they're going to get extremely hard. So let's hope it's short. Let's hope when they get back to work that people, you know, as the economy comes back quickly, if V's back quickly and everybody's smiling happy, they take care of that bartender, that server, and say, hey, you know what, they've been through heck now, I'll throw them an extra couple dollars.
I do, you can call me a foolish optimist, but I do see this, when it does rebound, it's going to rebound hard and big. And you know, but would it be too little too late in many cases? You know, and that's something you don't have control over. And I guess that's why I really want you here right now to talk about the things that you can control. You know, you go to ShopRite, there's no water. You know how the water utilities are, okay? There's no threat, imminent threat to our water system. There's no need to be hoarding and taking stuff like that, is there?
No, there's no threat on our water, our sewer, our electric, cable, all the utilities that we have. The threat is to individuals, younger individuals carrying it to the older individuals. That's the threat. And the financial threat and the stress threat. They're the threats at this time. As far as the town of Hamilton, your tax bill that normally is due in May, we're pushing it out to August. You don't have to pay it. If you can pay it and you want to pay it, fine. If you want to pay it on or before August 10th, you won't be charged interest for being late. So we're trying to do a little piece of what we can control to take a financial burden off somebody for a couple months until at such time they are in a better position. As far as mortgage companies, banks, I think everybody's going to have to work with car payments. I think they're going to have to work with us because they don't want all these cars back. They don't want all these houses back. If it's only a month they miss and they can get right back on it, and be 1 month behind, they'll probably work some kind of arrangement out where you make one payment in the back end. So I'm hoping that happens.
What about rents and stuff? You have properties, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't rent a lot of properties. I build and sell, but my brother does a lot of commercial renting, and he's already heard from some of his customers, his tenants that they're scared. They're hunkering down. They're worried. So, yes, it's going to affect small business. We're going to lose some small businesses. It's going to be a ripple. But let's just all try to be optimistic that it's sooner rather than later, that it's quick. If we all do the right thing and we all stay apart and we all keep washing our hands and if we have a temperature, we stay quarantined and we don't infect anybody, we don't hurt anybody. Because nobody wants that on their shoulders to know, hey, listen, I was a carrier and I affected dad or mom. As far as the youngers, we have to try to babysit these kids. We can't depend on grandparents because you're right. The kids, they're germ factories. They're little germ factories, like we were when we were young.
Well, that was the difference at the time because joining us right now is Kevin Friel, Chief Friel of the Hamilton Police Department. But as I was saying, the flu wouldn't, the schools really wouldn't close over the flu, but the kids just carried it and would give it and spread it to everybody. However, the advantage was sometimes during Christmas breaks, that was a great opportunity for the kids not to be at school for the virus to cease transmission, to stop transmitting from one kid to another. where now we're closing the schools, and there is very few, there's a lack of evidence of many kids getting sick at all. They could be carrying it, but they're not getting sick at all. And I guess as I'm talking, I'm thinking through this, you know, well, if they carry it and they're not getting sick, that's good, but they will be going to their grandparents and they will be spreading this as well. And your phone keeps going off. What's the most common thing that you are getting as far as people saying, Mr. Mayor, I need this, or what are you going to do about this?
Yeah, I've received a few calls today and been receiving calls. It's why did you shut my business down? Why did you make this decision or that decision? Well, the decision to shut any business down doesn't fall on the mayor of the town of Hamilton. It's an order from the governor of the state of New Jersey. And I didn't find out. I found that order out the same way everybody else did. Don't turn it on TV or listen to a press conference. I guess they feel that we need to flatten the curve. Everybody's been talking about this curve. We don't want to make it a mountain. We want to try to make it a molehill. We want to flatten the curve. We want to try to keep the hospitals. We don't want to inundate them with patients. So we have to flatten the curve so they can have a fighting chance, you know, of saving some lives. In addition to that, you see in Italy, there's doctors that are fighting this on the front lines every day that are losing their lives and ending up in the hospital even younger because they had a little underlying healthcare issue. And it seems like they're around, I guess, the worst of the patients, so it's even more contagious. And they're experiencing some problems there. So we have to try to lessen the curve, lessen the patients in the hospitals, help the doctors and nurses do their job. We have to do our job so they can do their job effectively.
Yeah, and it is very eye-opening. I was at a store. I'm a singer, so just by nature, I think just from biology, I tend to have a constant drip, like a constant nasal drip or something. It's just, you know, someone said it could be your body just always keeping your vocal cords, you know, lubricated or something. But I'm always clearing my throat. I've been doing it for 35 years. I'll cough or something. You go to ShopRite and you cough, or you look at someone who coughed, and it's really peculiar now. It's really peculiar. And since Kevin's here, I'll be addressing him very soon about this as well, because, you know, in no way would I ever compare what we're going through with, you know, the events of Nazi Germany or something. But it's when you hear these stories that they would isolate you or ostracize you for being a Jew or being an outcast, you know, in that way. And you go to ShopRite today and you just, you cough and you have that fear. It's so much less than what happened there. But you see how the public fear can create such a chaos and a mass hysteria that in so many ways is unnecessary. You know, and with everything in quarantine and you're reading the news, some people are seeing news articles that the National Guard is going to be doing stuff. And what is the fine line between martial law and just this voluntary quarantine that we're doing? And what measures are you guys taking, Kevin?
I would say the first thing that we need to think of is the social distancing. As we're explaining, and the mayor did a very good job of explaining, the virus is present in our, you know, our public in New Jersey. And what we're trying to do is to make a trickle effect. People are going to come symptomatic. They are. And if you are symptomatic, first step is not run to the hospital. Most of the symptoms that people are going to occur and have are going to be flu-like symptoms. They should stay home. They should isolate themselves at that point. We want to reduce interaction because what it does then is that there is a small portion of the population that's going to be highly susceptible to actually having a lethal effect from the virus. We're trying to prevent that from spreading from people that could contract it and have no type of serious health effect because of it, to prevent people in our population, in our community, that could be susceptible for having a lethal experience from mm-hmm. it. As you pointed out, there's a heightened awareness, I think, that people have as to, you know, the people around them coughing, sneezing, runny nose.
Would that be an understatement, the heightened awareness?
It's an understatement.
There's no bottles on the shelf. There's no toilet paper.
Yeah, I think that sometimes in extreme, you know, cases like this, people are taking it to an nth degree.
Exactly.
I think as we work together as a community, and that's what it's going to take, is it's going to take the whole community working together, not in fear of each other, not in fear of the end of the world. It's not the end of the world.
No.
But what it is a serious health concern.
And it's a trying time.
It is. And that's why the governor put in place the limiting the number of people gathering together, because the more people that you gather together, the higher there's a chance of a cross-contamination of a person that has an exposure to this to give it to other people. As you pointed out with the kids in schools, having the schools closed changes the dynamics of the ability for it to spread. They've said that children are not affected in a lethal or harmful way from the virus, but they would be a vector. As the mayor pointed out, that you have grandparents that want to help out while people are going to work and watch children, that would be a prime example of them having an exposure. A child may not have symptoms, may not have signs, but be a vector, be a carrier of that. So I think what we're all trying to do from a public safety standpoint is to stay calm, to try to conduct business as usual with limiting your exposure, social distancing, stay about 6 feet away from people. Obviously, if you have any type of symptoms where you're coughing, sneezing, whatever, and you need to go out, wear a mask yourself. You're lessening the chance of you spreading it or exposing people. I don't think anyone's going to look at you as a pariah if you're wearing a mask. There are a lot of people that are wearing it. It's a precaution. And as public safety personnel, when we respond to places, we may don an N95 mask, which is a respirator mask that would prevent the officer from breathing in particulates. Not that we're doing it because we think that everyone is contagious, but since we have a limited resource of the amount of officers that we have, mm-hmm. we want to keep the officers healthy as possible.
Are you dealing with this right now, like making house calls and stuff?
We have modified our response to things. We're actually asking people to come out of their residences for some things. This way, if there is any presence of any characteristics, fever, coughing, flu-like symptoms, contact with anyone that's traveled overseas, we want to limit the officer from any possible exposures. We, knock wood, have not had any incidents so far in our community or within our immediate part of the county, but there are places where officers have been exposed to potentially people that have tested positive or presumptive positive, and those people then self-isolate. That would take officers off of our streets to keep people safe. We have limited what type of calls that we are self-generating. I hope that people are in their best behavior and operating their vehicles.
Well, that's the thing. This is only day three. What the hell do you guys expect to be happening within the next couple of weeks with these people? They're cooped up. They got their liquor cabinet open. You know, you guys could have a handful on.
We can.
And then after the 15 days, they do this evaluation. They see, well,
we may need to extend it.
But we have to do this again.
Yes.
I obviously got contingency, but I can only imagine what you're going to be in for.
Again, that's why as the mayor and I am both asking, it has to be a community effort. We have to work with the whole community to be able to provide a safe place for all of us. And I know that sometimes it becomes trying times. Ben Franklin said that fish, family, and friends all smell after 3 days. If we're all cooped up, and listen, we don't have to stay cooped up in a house.
Because we've all seen The Shining. We all know what it's like to be
fresh
with
air,
the family.
Go out, do yard work. Hey, do yard work in your yard, you know, plant some flowers, you know, get some exercise outside, play mm-hmm. in the yard with the kids, with the dog. But it's social distancing
that's come up
now.
As far as the park, you've have the parks opened.
Yes, correct. The parks are open.
And but you also want social distancing. I do believe I had a one question regarding the parks. I haven't read it thoroughly. You said the park would remain open and that you would try to power wash it 4 to 5 times a week with bleach. Why would the park even be open? The whole purpose of the quarantine is to keep people inside and away from other people. And I guess this is one of the things we're trying to address, that you know, this is a misconception where We're not telling you to just totally stay home.
No, and nor just stay inside.
Right.
Because as I said, fresh airflow, that's why my officer's responding to calls. I want that in open air. Less of a chance of a contamination. You have air flowing between, less of a chance of a person contracting something. It's not, we don't want people just locked in their house. Mm-hmm. And obviously people are going to have to go for food, you know, and people are going to have to go out to, you know, go get medical supplies if they have any type of concerns or conditions. We're not telling that, say that people have to stay locked in their house. That is obviously not what we want. But we do want people to just be cognizant of keeping a distance so that this way we're not populating mass amount of people in an area because you increase the chances of people passing things on.
And you also mentioned that, you know, food and stuff, you're in the food business. Yeah. And what can you do to guarantee that there will be food? You know, do you think the stores being empty was just an immediate rush, a rash decision? People just panicked real quick, cleaned it out. And then through the course of the week, life goes on. You know, the 100%. Trucks come back to ShopRite.
100% on that. Listen, transportation is not being restricted for delivering supplies. Mm-hmm. I've personally have been going at least once a day to our local grocery store just to keep an assessment of the public, how people are reacting and what's going on. Yesterday when I went in late afternoon, shelves were almost bare. This morning when I stopped there, shelves are fully stocked again. So it's not a matter of a supply and demand at this point.
It's just a matter of a message to the people. Yes. Come on, you don't need 80,000 rolls of toilet paper. If you need that much for the 3 weeks, you need to see a doctor.
Yeah, they ran into the stores and they just started grabbing everything they could. Yeah. Now their houses are full, right? It's just, it's the same thing like years ago in the 70s when they talked about a gas shortage. You guys are younger.
Oh, well, I remember that. But odd and even tags.
Exactly.
The biggest storage
tanks, gas lines, they said, energy crisis.
Were your cars, right? And everybody always had to keep their car full.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that much storage. So now we have all these houses full of toilet paper. We're going to find that little by little, we're going to have, that's going to be abundance, and it's not going to be a sale item. It's even,
right?
You know, it's going to be, there's going to be too much available for what's needed because you're still going to be shopping in your own house for toilet paper, for wipes.
Do you think they should be monitoring this at stores? Like, look, you don't need...
There are certain items that they do have restrictions on the quantity that a person can buy in a purchase. Mm-hmm. A lot of that right now are fresh foods, chicken, things of that nature, medications. They put limits on different types of cleaning supplies.
I'm also seeing is like suggestions for like an hour or two for just the seniors to go in there and just for the elderly to go in and, you know, shop and get whatever they need in advance, or like, do you see that as being something possible or necessary?
It may be a potential thing, but I mean, also, as I said, in the community, if you have neighbors, you have people that you live near that are in that vector, an area of people that could be severely affected, being a great neighbor and going and running and helping out a fellow Hamiltonian. These are our people. Helping out a neighbor by going to the store so that they don't have to have an exposure, that they don't have to risk, you know, becoming sick. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people to take the initiative to have a heart and help their fellow Hamiltonians.
Right. And this is a proving ground. This will test us. You know, I see us rebounding great on the other side. I just see this being a very testing time right now. Mr. Mayor, the stores, the restaurants, what are the laws right now? What do we know for sure? What can we do? What can't we do? The restaurants, you know, the hours, operations and all this stuff, curfews.
So right now, if you're a restaurant, you have to be closed to the public, but you could do takeouts. You can do curbside service.
Now, is that all restaurants, like fast food restaurants as well?
Anybody can do delivery, curbside pickup.
But all the restaurants like McDonald's, you can't go in McDonald's. You can't go into Coin.
Cannot.
No. Okay.
Cannot. So you know that all could still happen. As far as the liquor stores are open, the shopping centers are open, the gas stations are open, drug stores are open. Other than that, there's not a lot open, to be honest with you. Bowling centers, movie theaters, you know, gyms now have closed. So we just have to. This is a great time. Like the chief has said and you have said, to reach out to a friend, to reach out to a neighbor, to help an elderly, to get your yard mulched, to get your yard, do the spring cleaning,
right.
wax your car, get everything caught up, that honey-to-do list, so to speak, and occupy yourself.
And as far as the curfews?
You are not permitted out and about from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., unless you're an essential personnel going to or from work, things of that nature. And the reason why, again, is to try to limit public interactions. And it's not, again, we're not trying to impose a martial law, nothing of that nature.
Right, you can be out in your yard, you can be out walking.
Yeah, it's just that we're...
Just don't get on the road, you don't need anything at this time of night.
Yeah. Yep.
And how's this being enforced? Are you having, so far, it's only day one, day two?
Yeah, and again, we're not trying, it's not a military state.
Right.
We're not trying to lock people in their residence. This is our plea to people to please adhere to this. The reason why, it's for everyone's benefit. It's not something that we're trying to impose to restrict people's freedoms. We're trying to increase our community's health. That's really what it's about. It's just increasing our ability as a community to stay thriving.
And once again, as you said, you start feeling symptoms and stuff, don't rush.
No, certainly. And matter of fact, you can refer back to the CDC website. They have, in the state of New Jersey Department of Health, they have a question and answer and that lists everything that if you are feeling symptoms, what to do, who to contact. And their first course of action is don't immediately run to a medical center. Most of the symptoms that people are going to go through.
That's cdc.gov.
That's right. And it'll explain in that with if you are coming up with symptoms or feel certain things, what to do, explain step by step. And again, it's not running to the emergency room. If a person is having a respiratory issue where they're having a problem breathing or feeling a serious health issue, because it could also be something with their heart, then they are to go. But they want to try to assuage the concern by not having everybody flow to a medical center where it could impede the health and well-being of people who are in need for those doctors and nurses to take care of them.
And Mr. Mayor, courts and town councils and all these facilities.
Yeah, that's all postponed. Courts postponed till April 21st. Town council meeting for March is postponed till early April.
But you do have things operational if people need to get in touch with you.
Oh, yeah. Sure. If anybody needs to reach out to me, I'm available 24/7 on my cell, 609-517-6324, 609-517-6324. Call me anytime. If you need something, if you call 911 and you need somebody to come out to your house, whether it be police or fire, and you think somebody's been quarantined or concerned they have COVID in that dwelling, please, before the patrolman gets near the house, please let them know.
It's actually one of the prime questions that we're going to ask for any type of calls for service. We are going to ask if anyone has any of the symptoms or has been in contact or is self-quarantining. We're still going to provide every service that we need to provide. Our community safety is important to us, and it is still job one. But we are modifying some of the services. We're going to do
any
some
particular
of the
websites
things.
We can go on to.
Actually, if you go to the town website, it lists all the things that we're doing. Also on our police Facebook
page.
What
is that site?
The townofhamilton.org has lists what we're doing, how we're modifying things, and provides all the contact numbers and emails for people that have business that needs to be attended to make an appointment. We still are running. Our town hall is still functioning, fully functional. But we are doing a modified service just so that this way we can, again, keep the health and safety of our community at the best that it can be. We don't want everyone just coming to town hall. If there's things that they do need to come to town hall for, we'll make arrangements, and we do have personnel that can assist them. Also, with any of our police responses, we're out there patrolling, making sure that everyone is safe, especially in the areas of our shopping centers where people are gathering together to go and run and grab items that they need. We want to make sure that everyone is behaving and everyone is safe. So that's why we're out there.
Sounds good to me, guys. I'll see you on the flip side of this.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor, Chief Friel.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you so much, guys.